Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White the Third, president of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast number 131, titled Athanasius of Alexandria, part 7, Further Trials. Our scripture reading for today is Psalm 68, 4 and 5, which reads, Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Our History of Christianity quote for today is from Dr. Don Sweeting. He said, Church history is one of the most helpful studies in the preparation of Christian ministers. It gets us beyond our natural short-sightedness, faddishness, and pride. It becomes a source of warning, a source of wisdom and encouragement. It provides spiritual sparks to awaken us and lift our eyes so that we might have renewed hope, and it gets us beyond our own American evangelical amnesia. Very important quote, very powerful and so true. Ladies and gentlemen, today in the History of Christianity, we're looking at Athanasius of Alexandria, part 7, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, volume 1. I learned of this wonderful book while studying in seminary, and God really used this dear brother to put it together well and easy to understand. This section is titled Further Trials. Although Julian did not wish to persecute Christians, the news that arrived from Alexandria disturbed him. His efforts to restore paganism were met with the staunch resistance of Athanasius, who by now had become a popular hero. If imperial policy were to succeed in Alexandria, it was necessary to exile its bishop once again. It soon became clear to Athanasius that Julian wanted to remove him not only from Alexandria, but also from Egypt. Athanasius knew that he could not remain in the city where there was no place to hide, and therefore resolved to seek refuge once again among the monks. Aware that Athanasius was planning to hide in the desert, the imperial authorities sought to arrest him. According to some biographers, Athanasius was being carried up the Nile River on a ship. "Have you seen Athanasius?" shouted some soldiers from a faster ship overtaking his. "Yes," Athanasius answered quite truthfully. "He is just ahead of you, and if you hurry, you shall overtake him." Soon the other ship was lost ahead of Athanasius. As we have seen, Julian's reign did not last long. He was succeeded by Jovian, who was an admirer of Athanasius. Once again, the Bishop of Alexandria returned from exile, although he was soon called to Antioch to counsel the emperor. When he finally returned to Alexandria, it seemed that his long chain of exiles had come to an end. But Jovian died in a few months and was succeeded by Valens, a staunch defender of Arianism. Fearing that the emperor would take measures against the Orthodox in Alexandria if he remained in the city, Athanasius resolved to leave once again. It soon became evident, however, that Valens was not eager to tangle with the bishop who had bested both Constantius and Julian. Athanasius was thus able to return to Alexandria, where he remained until death claimed him in 373 AD. Although Athanasius never saw the final victory in the cause to which he devoted his life, his writings clearly show that he was convinced that in the end Arianism would be defeated. As he approached old age, he saw emerge around himself a new generation of theologians devoted to the same cause. Most remarkable among these were the great Cappadocians, to whom we now turn our attention. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, next time, ladies and gentlemen, we will look at the great Cappadocians, part one. Please join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for Christian history, church history. Thank you for those who have recorded it. And we pray that you'll help us to learn from their lives, good and bad, and help us not to repeat that which is bad, but to only repeat that which is good for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. Trust Christ as your Savior today. For he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. This is good news for you, for me, and for everybody so that we can be a part of the church in this life and in the life to come, go to heaven and be with God, Jesus, and the saints. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.